very energy-ridden week with Vacation Bible School. And this morning, we have the opportunity to dedicate a child, amen, and also to baptize a precious girl, amen, who gave her life to the Lord there in camp and is going to be baptized this morning. And, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And as you're praying, pray a very special prayer for your pastor's senility, if you would, please. I forgot to put water in the baptismal pool this morning. So I'm gonna preach this morning with the background of a waterfall. And if I catch any of you sleeping, I'm going to come preach right beside you. Amen. Praise God. Right now, we're going to dedicate little Eli. This is going to ask his family to come forward this morning, Sister Wendy, Brother Kevin. This is a special, special dedication this morning. We just love this little man, and he is going to become a permanent resident of this family, a family member. He already has anyway, but... Sister Wendy and Brother Kevin are in the process of adopting Eli. They basically raised him, but he's going to be officially a Teal. Amen. And we thank God for that. Let's give them a hand for that. Amen. Praise God. And also Maddie, Logan, and Braden. Let's give them a hand as well, because they're going to have to be helping out. The Bible says that Hannah bare a son and called his name Samuel. And she brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh to Eli, and she said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition. Therefore I have granted him to the Lord as long as he liveth." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let none of his words fall to the ground. In the New Testament, we read concerning the infant Christ. When he was 8 days old, they called his name Jesus. And they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And he received him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now let thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And his father and his mother were marveling at the things which were spoken concerning him. And the child grew and waxed strong, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22:6 to train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And the Lord said, "I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. These words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Certainly we have Scripture promoting the fact that we need to dedicate our children to the service of the Lord. And that is not the end thereof. That's just the beginning. Amen. That will entail a long service of rearing that child, raising them in the fear and admonition of God. Amen. Standing behind them, whether they fall or whether they are successful, whatever the case may be, we're there to support them and to turn them over, amen, to a life of Christianity. This is a happy and significant occasion, which brings us together this morning. Just like Mary and Hannah of the old, Kevin and Wendy have brought their child to the temple today to present him to the Lord. You've heard the invitation of the Master that says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." The purpose of this service is to help you as parents to appreciate your obligation, so to train your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that when he shall come to the age of responsibility, he will most naturally turn from the wrong into the right and accept Jesus Christ as his Savior and Master. I believe that God has a purpose for Eli's life. To find that purpose and to live it out fully will mean success. To refuse or ignore it will mean failure, no matter how much worldly acclaim or proclaim may come to Eli. As parents, it is your privilege and duty to guide your child in such a way as to make the will of God the greatest ambition of his life. To this task, you are called to consecrate yourselves today. To this end, you now dedicate your child to God. In accordance with the purpose for which you have come, will you respond to the following covenant? Brother Kevin and Sister Wendy, do you present your child before God in solemn dedication? Do you consecrate yourselves as parents to bring up this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to instruct him in the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the practice of prayer, and to guide him in the development of a Christ-like character? Do you promise to try to the best of your ability so to shape the home life of your child, both by family devotions and by your words, and certainly by your example, that he will at the proper age most naturally come to an open confession of Christ and into the fellowship of the church? Inasmuch as you have promised before God and this people to dedicate your child to God and yourselves to the task of rearing him for God, I charge you to address yourselves faithfully to this sacred obligation with wisdom, patience, and devotion. And to this end, may the blessing of God rest upon you. Now, Eli, we're probably not going to ask to hold you this morning. Sometimes newborns don't have a choice. The pastor holds them, but I'm going to let you stay in mama's arms. I guess a fist pump is as good. Wait a minute. We got his certificate. That's civility sticking in the room. There's the person. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's the first. I believe that's the first child I've ever dedicated to give me a fist pump. All right. That's precious, isn't it? Amen. God is so great. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Again, please disregard the running water as we are attempting to have enough water to baptize someone this morning. We might have to get her to duck down as we go. But as long as she's covered, amen, that's right. Praise God. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you would. Amen. These are exciting times that we're living in. Amen. Lots going on, and that's good. Amen. A busy church, I believe, is a consecrated church. So if you're not involved in something, get involved in something. And whatever your niche is, we'll try to find something to plug you in. And I will assure you, it will be a blessing to us. It will be a blessing to you as well to get involved. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of Exodus, chapter number 27, the book of Exodus. I want to read verses 20 and 21 this morning, again from the 27th chapter of the book of Exodus, verse number 20 and verse 21. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always, and the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. Can we bow our heads in prayer this morning? Brother Chris, would you ask God's blessing and his anointing? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Amen. As they are getting power to the mic this morning, I want to entitle this message, The Beaten Oil. That intrigued me. I've read in depth about this before, but I was reminded this week
about the process. Amen. How many knows there is a process? Amen. Thank God for the process. Sometimes the process is not, it's not that enjoyable, but it's beneficial. Amen. How many knows what I'm talking about? When the Lord molds us and makes us and forms us and fashions us into what He would have us to be. I guess this kind of started Wednesday night in our Bible study as we begin to read the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I believe it was Hebrews, it might have been Romans, the 12th chapter, where it was talking about presenting our body a living sacrifice and how that God sees us is not always the way that we see ourselves. Maybe that's what started this in-depth reading, but I just couldn't get enough of it this week as I began to dig into the Word of God. And this morning I want to do some reading, and I want to bring the message as well, entitled, The Beaten Oil. Someone once asked why the children of Israel had to use olive oil that was beaten to be used to light the tabernacle, as expressed in Exodus 27 and 20. The response was this. The question was presented back to the one who was asking this question. Said, what do you do if you're trying to start a fire with only one log? And the person readily replied, well, then I would chop the one log up into a lot of splinters and ignite or start the splinters. And the person to whom the question was posed said, God does that to us sometimes. Amen. When we can't get fire in the one log, then we have to be broken. We have to be chopped up into small splinters so that, in fact, there is a place or a way to ignite that fire. And that goes hand in hand with this article. It says, basically, you get two types of oil from the olive. Now, I thought this was very intriguing because my wife eats olives and I don't. I don't like the olives in egg salad. I pick them out, and it's just a thing with me. But I like to cook in olive oil, and I do like that. But I've just never acquired the taste for olives. But evidently, they're pretty healthy for you. But the two types of oil, the first is which is the most pure, the finest, and of course, the most expensive, and that is referred to as the beaten oil. Actually, the word beaten is not the best rendering of this definition. The word in the Hebrew is keteth, which means to break into pieces. The first oil to be extracted from the olive does not come from pressing the olives, but by breaking, cutting, or tearing them into pieces. This only produces a few drops of pure oil. Olives spring from a tree and turn a dark green. When they are ripe, they turn black, and inside the olive has a couple of drops of liquid gold, as it is referred to. This is the beaten oil, the purest and the finest. This is used for anointing, medical purposes, and other specific uses. After the liquid is drained from the olive by bruising it, so to speak, it is then crushed or pressed to extract the oil contained in the meat of the olive. This oil is not as pure and is used for cooking and putting into lamps for light. However, for the light of the tabernacle, the people were instructed by God to use only the pure beaten oil. The beaten oil is considered to be the first fruit of the olive, and it is this oil that is used to provide the light in the tabernacle. I thought it so very interesting and so intriguing to know that God has a perfect plan all the way through the Word of God. And you find these types and shadows, and you find these parallels. So many times, even the life of Christ is paralleled to the beating of the olive. And I begin to think, first of all, how amazing it was, first of all, for this command to come from God through Moses. And Moses and Aaron gathered all the congregation of Israel together to give them this exercise that they must do. And how many knows that when the whole congregation is of one mind and one accord, things can get done? Amen. There's not any jealousy. There's not any controversy. There's not any backbiting or gossiping. Everybody has a purpose and everybody has a goal, and there's a singleness of mind and a singleness of heart. And I thought about this in the very trying times that they were in the wilderness. We just recently talked about the wilderness journey and from Elam and where they left there, and there was a lot of turmoil and there was a lot of disrest and a lot of people being actually wanting to go back to Egypt for all of the trials and the tribulations that they were finding in the wilderness, but yet maybe not realizing or not remembering that God was with them always. And I thought how we are sometimes. We seem to dwell more on the negative. We seem to dwell more on the things that we're facing rather than that whatever it is we're facing, God will not leave us. He's there right with us and He's going to take us through. And sometimes what we think is punishment is nothing more than just God beating us maybe or tearing us, amen, into pieces where He can extract that pure oil from us, and a pure oil in the form of worship and praise and acknowledgement to our Lord to let Him know that we can't make it on our own. Without Him, I can't do anything, but I'll have the Bible that tells me with Him, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But I must be submissive, and I must be obedient, amen, to His will. And sometimes that takes His hand, amen, pressing me. Amen. To lead me and guide me into that I need to be. So I thought about the children of Israel, and I thought about what a wonderful time it was for them to come together. As they began to put everything in order for the tabernacle and all the things that God had instructed them to do. And He said, I want this light to burn continually. Say with me, always. Amen. I want us to dwell on that for just a little while this morning. Amen. Not just burn at night. Not just burn during revival. Not just burn during the raining of the manna down from heaven or the blessings that God gives us each and every day. Amen. But let that oil burn all the day long. Always continually burning. Even in the midnight hour. Even when things look dark and gloomy. Even when things, amen, are topsy-turvy in our life. Even when we can't see to get an answer. Sometimes when we can't even seem to feel the power of God. Amen. Let me tell you something. Whether you feel it or not, the power of God is still with us. Amen. Because His promise says, I won't leave you. Amen. We have to trust in that. So there was something to think about. This oil that was designated to burn always or to burn continually in the tabernacle. Amen. As a light. Amen. And we know who that true light is this morning. And I thought about what a parallel it is to the actual things. Amen. Of pressing that oil and tearing it into pieces. And I thought about the children of Israel as they went back to their little huts or to their little tents. And all of a sudden, I can feel as I'm reading, I can feel as I'm praying that as I mentioned earlier, there was a singleness of heart. There was a singleness of mind. All of a sudden, Israel, the whole congregation had a purpose. They had a goal. Amen. You know, first of all, they had to gather the olives. And then they had to, and listen, we're not talking watermelon size. Amen. We're talking a little tiny olive that's about the size probably of the end of your finger, and they're taking those things and they're meticulously working those things, and they're breaking them apart or tearing them apart, and they're being so delicate and so gentle to extract the few drops of oil that was in that one olive. And imagine how many olives it would take to keep the fire burning, to keep the light going. But let me tell you something. Every child of Israel, every household, every person was doing their part. I began to get cold chills all over me when I began to think what can be accomplished, amen, through God when a group of people, amen, will have singleness of mind and have their heart and mind on doing something for God. You might say, oh, Brother Eddie, it's just a little bit. It's just a few drops. But let me tell you something. When everybody's putting in their few drops, amen, when everybody goes back to their house and they begin to reach the power of God and they begin to go into their prayer closet, and you may call it what you want to, but I'd like to call it getting a hold of the beating of the oil. Amen. Getting a hold of the tearing away of my desires and the ripping away of my lust and the things, amen, that comes up in my mind. And I'm focused on one thing and one thing only. Amen. And that is for the power of God to be real in my life. Amen. For me to be submissive and obedient to the will of God and to do what He has called me to do. Amen. And if each and every one are supplying that effort and doing what God wants them to do, think of what can be accomplished as a group and as a whole, and not just this sanctuary, not just this congregation, but every born again Christian, amen, who's full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and on fire for God, amen, doing what God has called them to do. Amen. And there's a place for each and every one of us, whatever that desire is, but seek the will of God in your life. And I thought I could almost visually see the children of Israel as they went back and they began to do this. And I thought maybe the little children, you know, how they are, they're very inquisitive and they want to help. And maybe they wasn't able to tear the little olive open like it was supposed to. And maybe they were crushing it and that couldn't be used. You got to understand, God wants the first fruit. You got to understand, God gives specific instruction. I want only the purest of the olive oil. I know it's just a few drops. I know you got to go through a bunch of olives to get enough. Amen. But this is the word of God. This is the statute of God. I believe today the church needs to quit trying to change the word of God. I believe that we as a people need to get into submission and obedience unto God and just obey what the word says. Quit looking for loopholes. Quit looking for convenience. Quit looking for easy way out. Amen. I don't find an easy way out. It wasn't an easy way out for Christ to walk up the hill of Golgotha carrying that cross of all of humanity, but he took the will of God. He said, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. It was not the easy road out. Church, we need to quit looking for the easy street. We need to get our mind on God. We need to get together as a group of people. Amen. We need to seek first the kingdom of God. I know it's just a little drop at a time, but if we want that light to burn continually, how many wants that fire to burn with you? Not just in the church house, not just during revival, but on Monday morning, amen, throughout the week. I want that fire to continually burn, because I got news for you. Sometimes I have problems and troubles that I'm not in a church service. I'm not in an environment where other people are, but I can always know that that Holy Ghost fire is burning. I can always know that that is within me is greater than that is in the world. I can rely on him. I can trust in him. But I'm going to tell you, it takes preparation. There is a process, amen, to doing the will of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I kind of think that there was such a cohesive effort here, and I don't read anything to the contrary where some of them say, do you understand how difficult that's going to be, Moses? I don't kind of read into this anywhere where after church they're shaking hands and said, yeah, you believe what pastors ask us to do? Ain't enough to pray at church. He wants us to pray at home now. I don't read that. Maybe there was one or two, but for some reason this week when I was reading that, it was almost like a visitation from God saying, look what can be done when everybody is together. Look what can be done when everybody just does their little part. And I don't read into where one neighbor walks over to the other neighbor's house and said, are you doing it the right way? Come on. Hallelujah. If every part of the body would just do what that part of the body is supposed to do, that body, amen, would benefit. That body would be stronger. That body would be unified. Amen. Satan would have a very difficult time coming against a congregation where every part of the congregation is pouring out. Every part of the congregation is providing. Every part of the congregation is doing their service unto God. And I can almost see every little household. Maybe the children were used to gather the olives. I don't know, but maybe there's something important when you get everybody involved. And I noticed yesterday, our little grandson, he loves to get involved. And we encourage that, but, you know, to be quite honest, sometimes he's in the way. And you know it's a little area where you want him to help, but you almost find yourself doing over what he did, but that's okay, because then I begin to think, how many times, God, have I been in your way? Oh yeah, boy, that'll humble you down in a heartbeat. God, how many times have I done it wrong? How many times have I said, I got it, Lord, and I had to bring it back to you, and you had to make it all over again and fix it all new. So I try to be long-suffering with him, and I noticed his daddy was doing some work yesterday, and his daddy was hot and sweaty and was doing this thing. There was Trey right in the middle of every bit of it, you know. But his daddy was patient with him and helping him along. And why? Because he wanted him to be involved. And I can almost see some of these little little Hebrew children, these little Israelites running in with a handful of olives and say, "Let mama show me how to do this." And maybe they took one and they mashed it, and mother said, no, honey, we can't use that one. Not for the oil. We might can set it aside and use it for something else, but you got to understand, son. You need to understand, precious daughter, that this has to be done very carefully. We have to break open the olive. Jesus. We have to pull it apart. Very careful. Not to let the precious oil that is within there fall by the wayside. Let me show you, honey. Let me show you what must be done. You take the olive and you hold it over a little container, maybe a little saucer or a cup, and you pull it apart. Dear Jesus. But mama, can't we just take all the olives together and just chop them up? No, you gotta understand. This has gotta be on an individual basis. Hallelujah. Some of you understanding. Some of you are reminiscing. Some of you are remembering the night that Jesus took you out of all the bunch of olives that was there, and those wonderful, masterful hands took you and he broke you apart and he tore away all of that sin, and he tore away all of that iniquity, and he tore away all of that lifestyle. Amen. And out of that, you wasn't realizing what was in you. Amen. But Jesus knows what was in you. In every one of us, there's a few drops, amen, of that beaten oil, that precious oil, that gold that you might be referring to. But it has to be extracted, and it has to be extracted by someone who knows what they're doing. I know you want to help, baby. I know you want to do help, but you got to understand, this is for God's purpose. This is for the tabernacle. This is for continuation of the fire and the light is supposed to burn. Hallelujah. How many olives it took just to produce enough oil to keep the lamb burning. Amen. Everybody working together. Everybody just doing their part. Everybody, amen. The beaten oil, the one that is torn apart, the one that is bruised, the broken into pieces. I'm reminded of the prophet Isaiah and how prophetic it was as God spoke to him in chapter 53, in verse 5. I want to take you to another place. We leave now the children of Israel. We leave now those precious little huts and houses and booths, as they were referred to. They were just temporary places. But in those little booths, in those little huts, amen, there was those people taking those olives and breaking them apart. And a few drops added to a few drops kept the light burning, kept the lamp on fire. I want to take you to a place where the prophet Isaiah is hearing from God. Little did he know, little did he realize what God was speaking to him that was going to take place. Just as those little olives were torn apart, just as those little olives were broken and beaten, the prophet Isaiah began to hear from God. He began to write the prophetic work of Christ on the Calvary. On the cross of Calvary. Let me read it. Isaiah said, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Hallelujah. I thought about the tearing away of the flesh, the meaty parts of the olive, and how it produces this wonderful oil that was used for anointing. We still use the anointing oil when we pray the prayer of faith. How symbolic that is of the scripture that it says, with his stripes we are healed. This Savior, this Christ, this eternal light that forever glows, that forever shines in our life. Let me tell you something about the light of Christ. No matter how dark your world is, no matter how gloomy your situation is, no matter how you think that there is no end in sight, there's always a light that's burning. It never goes out. Amen. It's that power that is within us that God said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send a comforter in my name. Thank God for the comfort of that light. Thank God for the light of this world. Amen. That shines in our lives. Amen. But it did not come about without the beaten oil, without the breaking into pieces. How horrible it was for Christ to take those stripes. I thought about how guiltless he was, how innocent he was. Not only was there no sin in his life, there was not even guile or deceit in his tongue or in his mouth. Never harmed anybody. But yet he was bruised and beaten for that precious oil, that precious Holy Spirit, amen, that he gave to us, that causes that eternal light to glow in our lives. Amen. So thankful for that. So thankful. But I thought, one person said, yeah, broken, but not crushed. Amen. I wish I'd have thought of that. Broken, but not crushed. What's the difference? Read the history of the olive. Amen. The rest of the olive was crushed later. Amen. But the pure oil had to be broken only. Pulled apart and extracted. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've been broken. But thank God, because of his strength, I am not crushed. I've had adversity that's broken me down, but in it came goodness, in it came hope, in it came the assurance that God would see me through it. I may be broken, but I am not crushed. I may slip and fall, but utterly I am not cast down. There is a power that is within me that came from the holy power of Jesus Christ. I'm not a victim. I can't be a victim as long as that light shines. I am a conqueror. In fact, the Bible says more than conquerors. Amen. Through Christ, through that Holy Spirit, through that oil, amen, that keeps the fire burning. Glory to God. Even in adversity, even in sickness, even in affliction, even in financial setback. Glory to God. I may be broken, but I'm not crushed. Hallelujah. I will rise. I will get up by the power of God. Hallelujah. He was broken. He was bruised. Amen. And chastised. He was beaten for our sins, for our iniquities. Hallelujah. Brother Eddie, I'm just one person. What can I do? Break apart the olive. Give God your very best. Hallelujah. Brother Eddie, I'm not a singer. It don't matter. Everybody in the congregation of Israel, they had different purposes. They had different abilities. But every one of them broke the olives apart and extracted that pure olive oil. Glory to God. Think about the spiritual connotation of that. Think about the spiritual realm. If we'll just break our will apart, break our desires, pull aside those things that we think we have to do, or we have to get honor, or we have to get glory, and just begin to extract that pure oil. Amen. That pure oil of praise, that pure oil of worship, that pure oil of ministry, that pure oil of teaching, that pure oil of witnessing, of testifying, whatever it is. I believe that we can, as a church, amen, unite together. Amen. We can become strong, amen, through the power of God. I believe revival will break out. I believe healings, amen, will once again, amen, accompany the church services. I believe in healing. I believe in the anointing power of God. I still believe in deliverance. I know that there's people that are bound. But let me tell you something. I serve a God who is able to break the chains, amen, that have us bound. He can break addiction. He can break all of these sins. He can break anxiety. He can break depressing areas. God is able to do all of those things. Amen. But it takes a concerted effort. Man, it takes an effort from the church. Oh. This is what is God. This is aggravating. Yeah. I thought about this. I love pecans. And there's one called a paper shell. You know, I like, because the shell is not hard to break. I want to get to the meat as fast as I can. And I thought about the modern church. We like that paper shell. We don't like to tarry. We don't like to pray and fast and seek the will of God. It's due partly to the convenience lifestyle that we're living in today. There's no waiting anymore. Now, let me tell you something. People say, man, the good old days. I love the good old days. I'm just going to give you one analysis. Some people refer back to the good old days as a long time ago when I had a great uncle and a great aunt. And to get buttermilk, they didn't go to Walmart, nor Ingles, nor Publix, or whichever you prefer. They got an old wooden churn. I love buttermilk. I didn't like it as a kid, but I missed out on something. I love buttermilk. The thicker, the better. I don't like that 2% stuff. I don't like that watery stuff. I want it thick. I want it to coat my throat as it goes down with the cornbread. If you really want to make me happy and lay my ears back, give me a piece of Vidalia onion with it. Lord Jesus. Praise God. But the good old days, church wants to go to Walmart and get their buttermilk. Come on. We don't want to pray. We don't want to seek. We don't want to tarry. Amen. But there's something to be said when we break away. Amen. Let me tell you something. I don't know. Like I said, I was a kid and I wouldn't touch that stuff with nothing in. But I'd give anything to have my great aunt churn me up a big old thing of that buttermilk. And then she had to cover it over. You know, that had to, whatever it had to do, ferment or thicken up. Or some people say it had to spoil. No, it ain't spoiled. Buttermilk ain't spoiled milk, by the way. I know the difference. Amen. But it was good. Amen. When she got that thing and I thought it made it so good because they had to go through the effort to get it. Amen. Praise God. I think we need to get away from the convenient lifestyle when we come into the tabernacle of God. We need to begin to pray. We begin to need to wake up or break away those things. If it takes churning, amen, keep churning. Keep praying. Keep working for God because God will reward us. Amen. The effort, amen, the reward is certainly worth the effort. Hallelujah. Thank God for the oil. And then in closing, I just want to say this morning that I would imagine there were some came to Moses and Aaron and maybe they'd worked all day and all they had was about maybe not even that much. But God, what is so little? Listen, what is little in our hands is big in God's hands. But something happened when everybody began to come and bring their little bit of oil that they had so worked tirelessly over and so meticulously broke those little olives apart and drained that pure oil. And something happened when they all began to put it together. It began to grow. It began to be sufficient to keep the lamp burning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You want the light, the lamp to keep burning in the church services? Bring your oil. Amen. Be prepared. Do the process at home. Bring it. Dump it into the church service. Dump it into the praise and worship. Amen. Dump it into the message. Dump it into the Sunday school. And you begin to see the fire break out. You begin to see a continual burning of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Isn't God great? Isn't God wonderful? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Glory to God. I don't know a better way. Amen. To bring this message to a close than have a baptismal service. Have we got water? What hindereth? Amen. We got water? We got water. We got a candidate? Sister Gracie. Give her a hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. If we could get the music to come and play something, we'll get ready for a baptism. Praise God. I'm going to get the honors. I'm going to be able to baptize her. Amen. Praise God. Say a special prayer. When I preach, sometimes I sweat. And let me tell you, no matter how warm that water's intended to be, it ain't too warm. It's a little bit cool. So pray that the Lord will lukewarm it for me. Amen.